Welcome to Perfectly Imperfect, the podcast for high-achieving perfectionist women struggling to see their worth in motherhood. With me, Rhea Oliver, owner of the Maternal Wellbeing Foundation and emotional health coach and therapist for anxious mums. I believe that when a woman truly finds herself in motherhood, it is often for the very first time in her life. Only then is she able to shed the weight of expectation, conditioning, judgment, and her worth being tied into productivity. And that this is one of the most freeing journeys a woman can go on. So join me while we delve into being perfectly imperfect and step into being uniquely you in motherhood. So with me today, I have the lovely Hannah, who is the founder of Bored of Busy, and she helps female founders and mums create a life with intention and flow by taking everything out of their heads so that they can do more of what they love and not get lost under the weight of expectation and busyness, which is so often the case for women. So thank you so much for joining me today, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me, first of all, just a little bit about what it was that made you create Bored of Busy and why it is so important.
Yeah, I think it's, well, like most things, without sounding too cheesy, it's been like a journey through motherhood. And I've got two boys who are 6 and 3. And I think if I look back over the last year, I don't think it's coincidence that it was coinciding with me coming out the depths of babyhood with my youngest and emerging and finding out, okay, actually, who am I again outside of being in that baby bubble and him going into toddler and growing up. So I was channeling in, like, making time for my hobbies and finding out, what am I interested in? Like, what sets me up again outside of motherhood? And then it suddenly clicked that actually feeling so consumed by life and doing all the things to do with being a mum, being in business, you know, running a house, like everything, was actually taking up so much space, time, capacity, energy from me having that space to dive into what I actually needed to be more of me. And so there was this kind of, like, I suppose this transition of me, like, working it out internally, going through all the motions of, like, am I allowed to? Is it safe to? Like, what does that mean for me? And actually, I came to the conclusion that all of this is safe and okay, but, you know, I can make it much easier and better for myself to do all of these things I want to do by making all areas of my life that are controllable more streamlined, systemized, more contained, and less chaotic. And so for me, that has turned into being bored of busy, because I was being bored of being so busy doing stuff all over the place that it meant I didn't have the time and space to do things for me. And it was a trade-off that I wasn't enjoying. So I built Bored of Busy because I was seeing it with women in business specifically around, actually, if we just got everything out of our head that was overwhelming us, put it all into systems where it is systemizable, and then actually created that time for ourselves, we would be able to do more of the things that fulfill us as women outside of all of the other roles we're playing in life.
Do you find then that need for the fulfillment, has that always been there for you, or was that triggered by entering into motherhood and having that element of kind of losing yourself first? Because I see with a lot of women that, particularly the women that I work with, is they've actually never had that. And there's something about being a mum that I think just cracks you open and changes everything. And it gives you the chance to reevaluate literally everything in your life if you've got the time and headspace to do so. But I find that they're like, I'm finding myself for the first ever time. So for you, was that always there, like pre-kids? Obviously, it's easier to fulfill your own needs pre-kids because you're only ever really looking out for yourself. It, you know, you might be in a relationship, but it's kind of each to their own, isn't it? So pre-kids, it is much easier. But is that need for fulfillment something that has come along with motherhood, or was it always there and then dipped a little bit and now you're like, I now need to make sure that I weave that back in?
I think motherhood made me realize the importance of it. I think if I look at pre having my children, I was very career driven. So I was in corporate. I was very young when I had my children, and so my career was cut short in that respect. But if I look back to that time ahead, then I was probably dabbling in things that fulfilled me, but they didn't fulfill me at the time then. So right now, like if you know and follow me, that sport, movement, and exercise is the thing that really gets me going. And so if I look at Hannah pre-kids, I would go to the gym, I would dabble in a bit of running. My husband and I would like, we would walk and stuff, but it was never connected to the purpose of this lights me up and makes me feel good. It was more a, I should be doing this because, you know, should take care of myself and all of this stuff. But ironically, going back then, when I had all the time in the world, in theory, because my time was my own, I just obviously didn't know it then. I would be a classic, like I'd go to the gym for an hour, hate it, see no results, be caught in like a cycle of like over-exercising, under-eating, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Coming out the other side of motherhood, and it was actually during COVID that I was like, I need something for me. I need something like most of us did. And like COVID obviously stripped us all bare and like we were in survival mode for a lot of it. But there was some specific points that I can remember that my husband would go out to the gym when we were allowed to, or would go out running. And I was jealous. I was like, he has this stuff for him and he just goes and he does it. And he doesn't have to ask permission and he doesn't have to think about the consequences of his absence. Whereas I and Louis, my eldest, would have just turned one at that time. For me, doing something for myself was a trade-off. Like, who's going to look after him? I'm going to have to ask permission to my husband. What am I not doing by prioritizing myself? All of those narratives purely by me because my husband is so supportive, nothing to do with him. And it was that moment of being like he gets to just go off and do this and it makes him feel good. Like, why am I want that for me. I want that for me too. And I think everything then changed for me. And I pushed through to create a routine and commit to something that felt good in movement specifically for me and forged the habit and the consistency. And from that moment, seeing the results of the impact on my mental health as well as my physical health, I was like, this is non-negotiable for me. I can see why I need this for motherhood. I can see why I need this to be better in business because I was in online business at that point. And I can see why I need it for me as a functioning woman outside of all of those elements. And so it has grown from there. And I now recognize that pre-kids, I was only playing at things I thought I should be doing, and they weren't actually aligned to what I needed or the depths of what I needed. And coming out side of motherhood has just fully cemented it. And I suppose with Marley, my second, who's now three, it's been fully, I have to do this. Otherwise, I am not a good version of me because the needs of everybody else on me, it's too much. I physically cannot like rationalize my emotions and my being without taking that time for myself.
I think there is something, well, I was going to say that happens to everyone. I think actually what I think happens is there are some people that come out of what I call like the fog of motherhood, and they're like, actually, I'm maybe starting to get time back for myself because my kids are growing up, or I'm recognizing that I need time back for myself and do something about it, as hard as that feels to start with, doesn't it? It's like wading through treacle to try and figure out what that balance is, but such a journey that is worth taking. Or other people that maybe get to that point, but they've been so long in the busyness and the perfectionism and the people pleasing and that worry about actually, if I do something for myself, who's getting sacrificed as a result of that, which was a massive thing for me. Like, I had that really strong feeling like I have to be here all the time for my kids in case they need me. Actually, when I was like, but I also want to do all this other stuff and I want to feel like I'm not just mum all the time. I was a much nicer person to be around when I started doing things for myself. And I actually quite enjoyed missing my kids and coming back to them. There are a lot of people that get stuck in that place of, but I have to be here, so I'll carry on being busy. We'll get lost in that like toxic productivity. It's the way we have been trained, I think, as women to prove our worth, particularly if you're on a career break or you're on maternity leave or you're a stay-at-home mum and you're like, I'm not financially contributing, so I'm going to have to contribute through excessive busyness and perfectionism and doing all the things. And they're two very different pathways. There's not a lot of grey area in between, I think, You either look after yourself or you get completely lost in it all. So I love that you've said that you noticed that part of that progression for you. And I
Yeah.
don't, have you seen the documentary? I think it's on Netflix about Michelle Obama that's called Becoming.
No.
And she said almost exactly what you've just said there, that she was like, I was married to the president and he still had time to go to the gym. And I was sat at home like, hang on a minute, why am I looking after the kids and doing all of this stuff? And you've still got time to go to the gym. So instead of moaning about it, I made time to go to the gym and it made
Yes.
such a big difference. And I was like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh, that is so true. That
Exactly.
resentment can really build up between couples, can't it? Because there is a difference between the mental load and the expectation, I think. And we can either step into that mental load and expectation, or we can say, this isn't working for me, it needs to split in a different way. But I think it's so easy to think, well, I'm the mum and I'm the woman, therefore I have to do all of these things. And the more that we tell ourselves that, the more that becomes the truth. Whereas
Exactly.
if we can actually say, but I need this as well, and this is how I need you to support me, you do that in a systems-based way, like this is all the mental load written down and planned out, and this is what I want you to take, this is what I'm gonna take. A lot for a lot of people that ends up being a conversation, and conversations aren't often very concrete, are they? Because
No, not super tangible.
so for you, where you've created that system for life and business, how did you find that transition with Michael? Like I'm assuming from my own experience that would have been a transition in figuring that out together. Like this is everything that needs doing and this is how I can support you. Like how did that dynamic work for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for nearly 10 years, and my husband is he's horizontal. He mellows me out a bit. Like, we are opposites in that respect, so we probably work really well because of it. But I think he could see, like, he will always say, like, I'm one of the hardest working people he knows. Like, my commitment and discipline to the things that I'm interested in are often unparalleled. And so when I say to him, I need help, he knows it's serious because, again, we've spoken about this before. As quite an independent individual, there isn't a lot that I would come to somebody and naturally ask for. So when I was recognizing, actually, I want to excel in my business, I also want the hobbies and the time for myself, I also want to be a present parent, like, I want it all. But the only way for me to do that is if we come together as a proper team. And I almost look at the home stuff as like a bit of a project. Like, my mind, it goes into project management for business. And a bit of me was like, well, home is no different. It's just a set of things that we do on repeat. So why can't I capture that in the system and make it tangible, bring it out of my head, bring it into the real world, into the system to show him, actually, whilst you see that, the birthday cards and the presents just get bought and Christmas gets catered for and all of these things, and I don't make much noise about it, here's actually what I'm dealing with, and you can see it. And I think men on the whole need to be able to see it in black and white to actually go, ah, oh, okay, I get it. Now, I'm not saying that me systemizing the home stuff is the true, makes it really transparent, everything that I'm carrying, because of course it doesn't, but it's a damn sight better than trying to hold it all in my head and shoulder the weight of it alone. So I think when he saw the reality, and it wasn't just me being like, a martyr or a victim, or like, I'm doing so much, I'm struggling, he was like, right, okay, I get it. I can, like, I may not be able to necessarily think of all the things that need doing myself because our brains work differently, but here's where I can help. I can help by doing and taking stuff off. And that's a rhythm that we have worked on in our relationship together, that he will, if I want him to think and use his initiative, we're not going to get very far. And I say that with love and respect because he has zones of genius outside of mine. Like, ask him to build a shed, put a fence panel up, build a decking. He's the man, he's got it. But ask him to look around the house and say, what are all the things that need doing, or how do we plan for birthdays, etc. It's just not where his brain goes, but he is great at following instruction, following process, and doing stuff. And I think I said to you before, like, to some people, that's like, well, that must be like, your relationship must just be like a business relationship. And I'm like, well, it's not, because actually, by us having this system and me not feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and at capacity by all of the things I'm doing at home as well as in business, it makes our relationship so much more fluid. It makes us, like, coming together and working as a team. Like, we have such respect for one another in the parts that we're playing in raising our children, running the home together, because we just get shit done. We just do it. And it saves our time, energy, and focus to have the conversations with one another that we actually want to have. And when we do have our rare moments without the children, like I'm not there thinking, like, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, like, nag, nag, nag. And I think every woman that I've ever spoken to about this can resonate with the whole, like, I hate being made to feel like I'm a nag, but I'm put in that position because I have to continually ask and continually ask. And in the end, I just do it myself because it's easier. And then I feel resentful and cycle, cycle, cycle. And I'm like, I'm bored of it. I'm bored of it. I was put on this planet. I think I've said this in a podcast before. I was put on this planet for more than wiping up wee off the bathroom floor because I live with three boys. I was put on the planet for more than continually doing washing. Like, my purpose and my talents and skills go beyond all of that. So why am I the nag that has to make all of that happen at home when it is literally just a system, just a series of things that need to happen on any given day or whatever it looks like? So I mean, he super willing and really open to come back to your question, like wants to help. Yes, he needs prompting at times, but for me, it's knowing that I don't have to hold anything up here because it's in the system. And I can be like, if he asks me a question about something that's been systemized, I'm like, you know where to go look. Go find it for yourself. Great, perfect. Off we go. And we're navigating it. It's, I think, like business, everything is cyclical. You have to come back and reassess and like build, grow, refine as you change, your life change, the season of your life changes, etc. But it's a damn sight easier than me trying to do it all by myself and hating it.
And it's almost like, if you are, which so many women get stuck in, and I was definitely there myself, like the more that you are doing on your own, the more those feelings of I'm basically a single mum, but in within a marriage come up. And that's a really, really difficult place to come back from. But I think it is interesting that you say about like Michael is so horizontal and you're like much more on the go and you're complete opposites, that that in itself could cause a lot of friction, couldn't it? And that's where a lot of that resentment can grow or miscommunication happens because you approach things in different ways. But actually, it's okay to not be the same type of person. You can still get things done in a unified way, doing it also that works best with your own kind of personality types at the same time. And I think like that mental load alone is the thing that all women struggle with. And if I could click my fingers and take away one worry for women, it would be that a lot of the time. Like, I just want to get out of my head and have a bit of a break, because I find that even when life is going well and everyone's doing what they should be doing, it's that mental load that makes people feel like it just never stops. There is never any let up from that. And if we can get as much of that out of our heads as possible, whether it's like the actual mental load of the household or running your business or just how you're feeling sometimes, those worrying thoughts that are going round, it does free up the time and the space that when you've got time with your partner, you can actually spend quality time where you enjoy each other's company and not like nitpicking time. All of those little things just add up to create a life that feels easier, which is ultimately what we all want, isn't it? It's just to be easier. So from your point of view then, like with, so I work with a lot of perfectionists, which I know you see a lot of with the women that you work with as well. And that perfectionist streak will be very much like, well, if I may as well do it myself, because then I know it's going to get done perfectly, or it's going to get done right, because their way seems to be the only way. And that can be a driving force unknowingly behind a lot of women just always constantly being busy and on the go and taking the load themselves. So with your clients, do you find there's a switch in the way that that perfectionism streak works or how much dominance it has, so that they can let go of more of those things?
Yeah, I think the first part is, I think so much of our busyness around doing and whether it's driven by perfectionism or whatever is based on the fact that we can't necessarily see all the things that we actually have to do. And so when you're compiling all the options and the choices throughout your day in your head, it's for me, it's really not clear like how you can prioritize, focus, and make a decision based on actually what do you need for yourself. Because it's just scattered and it's chaotic and it's, you know, it doesn't feel real. So my first step with anybody that I work with is like, we've got to get it out of your head. I need you to stop operating from a place of everything being up here. Because as soon as we take it out of your brain and put it down in black and white on a piece of paper, on a Google document, in a system, all of a sudden, there's a perception shift of, oh, it feels real. I can see it. I can actually physically see it in front of me. And if I can see it, I can organize it. I can prioritize it. And then from there, it's like, okay, well, I need you to choose, like, what are the things you actually want? What are the things that you want to get done or prioritize because they are good for you? And let's start there. And everything else, can wait. Like, and I get it. I get it so hard. Like, I'm looking around at my kitchen around me now and it's a hot mess. And that is a choice. I could choose to do something with that, or I could do something that fulfills me and helps me feel better as an individual. And that is a learned behavior. That takes the realization, the recognition, and then building habits behind it to move through it. And I'd be a liar if I said that I didn't look at the mess and it triggers me at times, because it absolutely does. Because I go back to that pre-Hannah, pre-kids Hannah all the time and think my house used to be so tidy and everything stayed where it was and it was lovely and it smelled nice and it wasn't grubby. But I'm like, hun, like those days are gone and you have a choice. You can either let it eat you up every single day, five times a day, because if you have kids, nothing ever stays the way you want it to. Or I can make peace with it and actually prioritize the things that make me feel good as a person to help me travel through this season of my life, because I know it won't be forever. Like, my kids will not play with all the junk that they play with, and we won't have all the toot and plastic stuff forever. It is a season. And wouldn't it be an absolute crying shame if I wasted this 10 years of my life hyperfixating on that stuff and neglecting the things that make me feel good, only to get to that 10-year period and be like, what could I have done with all of those years if I made a choice for me? And that, for me, that's the most tragic thing about all of this, is that like time is literally slipping through our fingers. Like, and I stand by, like, we're here for a good time, not a long time. So let's make the most out of it and find the balance between the two. Now, I'm a realist, so there will come a point, probably at a weekend, where I'm like overstimulated by the amount of noise, the amount of mess, and I'll be like, "Wait, I need help. Please help me, Michael." And we'll do that together. But the difference is, I'm not scootering around my kitchen like talking under my breath and like, "Oh, I'm a mess, and I gotta sort it out." Blah, 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 blah. Like, we'll do that together. That's an us problem. That's not on me, because we all live here and we are two adults together and we're a team. I hope that
Yeah,
answers your question.
it does. And like, it gives me goosebumps listening to it, because you're so right, actually. Like, women generally can spend a lot of time in worry and what if thoughts about the future, can't we? What if this happens? What if that happens? But actually, we've got influence over what goes on in the future. But you don't want to be in a place where you're looking back and thinking, I wish I'd done this, or I regret doing that. That thought is way more scary than what might happen in the future.
Yeah.
But again, I think we're conditioned into, you have to be busy, you have to do all the things. And the amount of conversations I have with clients where I'm like, the washing can wait, tidying up can wait, and their perfectionism would be like, but it can't, I have to get it done now. And again, I was definitely in that place at one point. And I'm much the same as you now. I'm sitting here where everything, where you can only see a wall, it all looks quite nice, but actually around me there's still breakfast bowls out and all the teddies brought down that autumn came down with this morning. And I'm much the same as you now, that I'm like, I could have come home from the school run and tidied all of that up. I chose to do something else. And I will, my question that I ask myself a lot is, what can I do right now that's going to add value to my life? And that might be doing something in my business that's literally going to pay the bills and put food on the table. It could be going out for a walk. And I can't, when the kids are here, work on my business because they ask me 1,000 questions a second. And I can't just go out for a nice, peaceful walk when the kids are here, because they'd be with me and then it's not so peaceful. So all of that kind of stuff can wait until they're home, and then they can help me with it so that it becomes more of a family thing. But people tell me all the time, oh, you're going to miss the mess when they grow up. I'm like, I'm definitely not. I'm not going to miss the mess. I will miss them being small. Yes. I won't miss the chaos in the house. But for right now, it is okay that there's chaos in the house. And that, like you, sometimes I'm like, I need to tidy up now because it's too much and it will get overwhelming at times, but that's fine. But I'm not led by a constant need to be like, I must do this and I've got to do this. And or jumping up, I get this a lot with my clients, that as soon as husband comes through the door, they're like, oh, quick, I best jump up out of my seat if they've been sitting having a cup of tea, and go back into that productivity as a way of proving their worth all the time. time and you think life is way too short for that. And actually, there's no medals for it. No one's going to talk about it on your deathbed. Like, wasn't she
No.
so great at tidying up all the time? They'll talk about the person that you are, and it's that part of you that is getting
Exactly.
stifled by all of the stuff you're doing.
Yes.
Actually, doesn't matter.
Yeah, like that's such a good point because I would much rather be known as the mum who was happy, present, and look at her going off and getting medals for running races and fulfilling her passions and stuff than known as, wasn't her house always so tidy? Wasn't everything always so clean? Boring, boring. Like, no, that's like, what kind of life is that? But I know
Yeah.
what you mean. Like, social media, obviously, so, like, absolutely conditions us to all of these beautiful show home houses, and there's no mess, and there's all of this. But isn't it then ironic the amount of people? So, if we just talk about running and my movement and stuff like that, the amount of people that comment on, I wish I was like you. I wish I had that consistency. I wish I had that drive. Like, the grass always seems greener on the other side. But, you know, in doing, choosing that for myself, I don't see it as a sacrifice. It's a compromise for the moment. Like, I compromise like the standards of my home to prioritize the standards of my mental health and well-being and my physical health and well-being. But I look at all those houses as well and think, God, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? So we're all guilty of it, but everybody's making their own compromises, I suppose, based on what they want and what they need in that moment. And to look at other people is that whole highlight reel, isn't it?
Or compromising based on what they feel they should do, which is an all
Yeah.
an external validation thing. I'm doing
Exactly.
it for sake of others because you know that you feel miserable doing all that stuff all the time. And actually, we're always habit stacking, and your habit stacking is either tidying up and perfectionism and doing all the things and making your house spotless, or your habit stacking is making sure that I go out for a walk 5 times a week, or I run, or I'm doing 10Ks. Like, they're all habits, and you've got choice over what habits you're choosing to lead at any one time. So those women that are saying to you, like, I wish I could do that, well, you can. It's just that you're spending your time doing a different set of habits right now.
Exactly,
So it's
exactly.
not out of anybody's reach, is it? It's
No.
just, you know, a lot of it is so driven by, well, if I feel like I should do all of this, it feels scary to let go of some of that sometimes because what are people going to think if I stop doing this and start doing this? There's a lot of that judgment, isn't there, around, well, how come she gets so much help so she can go out running and all of this? Like, you've just got to forget about what the external world may or may not think about it, because you're actually never going to know, and just start doing the things that make you feel more like you. Fill your bloody cup up a bit, because let's face it, kids drain that
Yeah.
relatively quickly some days. And you can't keep operating always from a place of emptiness. It's just not sustainable.
No.
So with the clients that we work with, we've got a lot of similarities in that there is perfectionism streaks, there's people pleasing, they're frustrated, they feel like they're not quite reaching their potential because we're getting lost in a lot of habits that do nothing for us or move us forwards. And there's that always striving for more. So when I talk about perfectionism, I think it sometimes gets a bit of a bad rap or is viewed in the wrong way, and that it's not always about like being perfect or the house being perfect or the kids always being like immaculately dressed. That perfectionism a lot of the time is just that constant striving for more. And then so we'll have a goal maybe, and we'll work towards it, and then we move the goalpost. And you're like, right now I've got to work towards all of this. And it's that constant, there is a forward movement as such, but it's always a feeling of not enoughness. Whatever I've just been striving for is not quite enough, or I feel like I failed, so I'm going to strive for more again. And that hyper independence and being a control enthusiast, like you say a lot in your marketing. And there's a lot of the traits within that type of personality type that are actually really positive traits in a person. I think the issue is that when all of those traits take over to the point of burnout, so you're
Yeah.
always striving for more and never quite getting there because you changed the goalposts, or you're always people pleasing, but it's never quite enough, or you always could have done more or should have done more. And then when it starts having an impact on your well-being, that's when those traits have gone into overdrive and they stop being positive things and start being something that hinders you a little bit. So with the work that you do, how do you start seeing those traits become more like your superpower rather than the thing that holds you back all the time?
Yeah, I think the starting point for me is with all of the traits that you've just spoken about and always striving for more. I would class myself as a high achiever, super ambitious, and it's very easy to get caught up in those North Star goals of, and they tend to be materialistic, right? Particularly if we're looking in business, like making X amount of money, being able to go on that holiday, being able to buy a new car. Like they're all quite big signposty things that people are working hard towards and doing and doing and doing. And then all you do is create that, right? Well, once I've achieved it, like you say, what's next? And you're always that forward momentum of doing to achieve that big thing. And what I recognize that, whilst yes, I have a lot of those traits as well, is that in forever projecting more, we miss out in the fulfillment for day to day and actually allowing ourselves to live to our full potential in the here and now for those micro moments that bring us joy. So I bring a lot of my clients into actually, what does fulfillment and success day to day look like? And how do we bring that focus back into what we're doing every single day and build our habits and routine around that? Now, for me, it looks like going for a walk every day. I talk about this in my marketing. I literally go for a walk every day, force myself to drink a bottle of water because otherwise I wouldn't hydrate myself and challenge my body in some kind of way. There are a million other things I do, but I'm like, if I just do those three things for myself on top of my business things as well, I feel happy. I feel really good. I should probably add in going and buying a coffee as well, because that's a key feature of my day, micro moments of happiness. And actually, the shift that I then see is by fulfilling those micro moments of happiness, I like power up myself to show up to my day as a much better version of me in its entirety. And hey, the result is I actually create way more momentum daily towards my goals, whatever they are, both personal or business, that feel so much more fun and fulfilling than just forever looking at that North Star of, I want to go on a holiday in August and I need to make X amount of money, because it just pushes you from more to more to more. And your potential is wrapped up in just doing for doing's sake. Whereas, actually, if we can create what we do with intention and be really clear about why we're doing it, the happiness and the positivity and the energy you feel every single day will serve you so much further and in way, way more like colors and variations than just, I want to go on that big holiday, so I need to work my ass off to do it.
Yeah, 100%. I talk a lot with my clients about where is it that you're trying to get to? How is it that you'd rather be feeling? And some clients honestly have no idea because they're like, I can't see life outside of the way that it is right now. And others are like, well, I want to feel calmer. I want to feel more relaxed. I want to feel more in control. You're like, great. That's amazing that you know where it is you're heading. Now let's start noticing that every day. So today, when have you felt those things? Because if it's forever in the future, again, we just move the goalposts. That's where a lot of those feelings are like, I'm failing or I'm not good enough because I'm never quite getting there. Whereas actually, all of the stuff we need, or all of the stuff that we want, should I say, we can experience in the here and now. And it just gives so much more motivation, doesn't it? That you think, oh, actually, I might be really going through it right now, or I might have had a really difficult day with the kids. But I did still feel quite calm or connected or present or relaxed right now. But actually, that feeling doesn't have to be there 100% of the time, because then we're disappearing back into perfection. Can both have a really difficult day and little glimmers of all of that joy at the same time. And when we can bring that into the present day, it just means we're much more connected to that bigger picture anyway. And then those North Star things like the holiday are extras, but they're not the be all and end all. I'm more about trying to create a life you feel like you don't need to escape from by going on holiday, but that actually that holiday is just another experience that you're having within a whole year's worth of experiences. And again, while your kids are little, those experiences mean everything, don't they? In the day to day, all those tiny little moments everywhere. It's starting to just notice all of that in the here and now, so that you're like, actually, it's very easy to whitewash all of the good bits when you've had difficult days, or you're up all night, whether it's doing night feeds or the kids are sick or whatever it might be, or you've got loads going on in your business. It's like, actually, right now, everything is, I'm exactly where I need to be, which is a phrase I use with myself a lot, even when I know I'm on a bit of a journey. Like every single step of that journey, we've got to start enjoying the journey and not just trying to get to the end destination the whole time.
Exactly. Because isn't it then funny the amount of people I speak to that there's holidays seem to always be a North Star, I think, because, people wanting breaks and, it is a luxury these days with the cost of things and what have you, all the various reasons. But so many people I work with in business, the women, get to the holiday and are they able to enjoy it? No, because they've worked their absolute tits off to get to that point, and then they're coming to their holiday burnt out, overwhelmed, chaotic. They're taking their business with them in their head on the holiday, where with their children. And let's face it, holidays are beautiful and a privilege, but it's just parenting somewhere that's less equipped than your home. So it tends to be more stressful if your kids are of a certain age. But we roll. And taking all of that with you on holiday, like, did you really just pay like the best part of 10 grand to do that? No. Like, so what, like the priorities are all like backwards, like you say, having that North Star as an extra and coming to it with calm, control, and the space to actually enjoy it. Isn't that the result we should be looking for? Not just the, oh, yes, I made it. I managed to go on that holiday that I didn't enjoy, and I got back into my business, and I wish I didn't go because now I've got so much to catch up on and so much doing, and blah, 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 blah. Like, really?
And
No.
if you spend all of your time anyway in that busyness and the perfectionism and always on the go, and then you've got an idea that as soon as you're on a sun lounger, you're just going to be able to switch all of that off, you
Doesn't
don't. You're
work like
just on
that.
the sun lounger, like, I could be doing this and I should be doing that. Did I send that email? And it's still all up here again,
Yeah.
isn't it? It's just you're in a different place. So I
Exactly.
call it like moving into your soft girl era, like out of the hustle culture of motherhood. Business life, I much prefer just a slower living life now. Like, I'm with my kids, I go out for walks, and like nothing really is done at any pace. I definitely used to be like, bam, 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 let's get it all done as much as possible. And I do still have moments because, again, nothing's ever perfect. Or if I've left the mess in the house for a little bit too long, and now I'm like, now it's a really big job. Like, there are busy moments.
Of course.
But I'm like, I don't want to live in a hustle life the whole time. I want to live in a life that feels really nice and paced. And again, with those holidays, if you're like busy, 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 and then you say you go on holiday, you don't really enjoy it. But also, that's when the illness hits as well, right? Because your body's like, bam, you've got time to deal with this now. So I'm going to give you a stinker of a cold for the entire duration of while you're away. Get any rest or enjoyment or anything. And then you can go back to work and start all over again.
Yeah, literally that always happens. Like, how many mums after Christmas, December hits, categorically, you can bank that I will get sick or historically get sick between Christmas and New Year when the pressure is off and you get a moment to breathe, because exactly that, having done all the doing throughout December, ramping up as well as business, children's commitments, providing everything for everybody, and then all of a sudden, sick. Horrible,
Yes,
horrible.
every time. But that's just one of the many signals your body is sending to say something has got to change. It's not just coincidence every time it happens. So, something else that you talk a lot about, which I bloody love, is like that main character energy and the I want energy. Like, we need to start living in a life where we're able to say, this is what I want and this is what I need. And when we're lost in that busyness or always being in mum mode and bending over backwards for everybody else, you become a bit part in your own life, don't you? You're like you said in your post the other day, you're the supporting actress for everybody else. They're at the top of the priority list all the time. You're like way down the bottom, if you're even on it at all. And stepping into that main character and actually taking control and responsibility for your life and your happiness and health and well-being so that you can thrive in all areas is so important, but it very much goes against the grain of what we should do as women. So did you, or did either did you see a point where you were like, oh, this is, I actually have to be the main character now? Or do you notice that your clients where something changes and they're like, this, I'm gonna have to, like, I have to do it now. There is no other option. And what do you think it is that stops women from jumping straight into that earlier and embodying that earlier?
Yeah, good questions. I think there's so many different directions from this. But if I look at myself first, I felt my potential was diluted and was capped, and I could feel something almost bubbling under the surface, again, coming out the other side of the baby years with my youngest. And I was getting frustrated. I was getting short-tempered. I was getting resentful of my husband. My husband was getting promotions. His corporate career is on the way up. And I was jealous more than anything. Like, happy for him. Go do what you're going to do. Like, here for it. But I was jealous. Like, this is something that doesn't feel right with me. I was having like physical reactions as well to like being unable to just step up into who I wanted to be. I don't think it's coincidence either that I hit 30 and looked at and was like looking at the next, right? If I spend the next 10 years of my life in this next decade feeling the way that I'm feeling now, will I look back on it with pride? And the answer was no. And I was like, right, well, you've got a choice. You need to do something. And I didn't necessarily have all the answers, but I knew that something needed to change. So that kind of like set me off on my journey. I also recognized that as the woman in the house and as the default parent and all of those things, that so much of the energy in my household was dictated by my mood and whether I was able to show up fully in like a good energy, good vibe, feeling myself, everybody else's moods. Would be impacted by that. And that really came up with I was really ill in January, wasn't I? I had concussion. And I wasn't able to show up, quite understandably, to my family with the same energy and commitment that I normally would because I was bed bound. And I noticed it with my husband, like his behavior changes while he would be short and snappy with the kids and all of this. And I had to say to him, like, I'm really seeing that when I'm not there to set the bar of the energy in the house and, you know, the momentum and the movement. It's going to shit. Now, that is a big responsibility for me to shoulder and have to do all the time. But actually, if what you need from me is to bring the energy the majority of the time, I need to create the space and the capacity to do what I've got to do to come to this family with my best self. So that's kind of how we worked it out together. And that might be quite controversial because there are times where I'm like to Michael, like, I hate being the energy. Like, I need you to come and meet me. If I'm on a day where I'm like, I can't be like top Hannah that I normally am for whatever reason, like you need to top the cup up and bring it for the family. Like, but that's a conversation we have to have to check in with one another. But for the most part, if I am the driving force of this family, as most women are, and you can argue it till the cows come home, most of us are, then you need to give me what I need to step up and be the main person because it benefits everybody. So that kind of like with like two prongs in it. And so I fully then immerse myself into that. Okay, so what is it I need every single day? All of those things that I want that we've spoken about. What makes me energetically, when am I at my best? When am I not? And what are the things that really light me up and feel fantastic? I'm going to lean into those and be consistent with it because I think the most thing that we do as women and we have been taught to do over generations in society is to do everything. I'll do it all and I'll do it all pretty badly. And then I'll feel shit about it. And then there's a narrative we tell ourselves like, I'm not good at it. I can't do anything consistently. I can't, blah, 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 all of this. And so my approach is very, what's the bare minimum I can do and that I need to do to make me feel good? And I'm going to do those things really freaking well until it becomes second nature. And then I'll layer in, you know, I could try this, you know, and I'll fine tune it and build momentum on it. That kind of like was my journey. I think with a lot of my clients as well, especially the women and the mums, they have been very successful in their corporate careers. And I think there is a line between, you know, how much money they're earning and the stage that they're at. And most of them have been quite high flyers early on, have started families and obviously careers down and gone into their own businesses and recognize that their potential is fully stagnated and diluted by the amount that they're doing and how busy they are, that they can't show. They're like, it's like wading, isn't it? Wading through treacle. Like, I need to just get all this stuff out of the way and then I can come out the other side and be like, bam, I'm here. But it doesn't work like that because most people aren't taught or given the tools to, you know, put everything in their bo in the boxes to make it easy, like the work that I do essentially, so then they can step up and be like, this is me, I am here. So I suppose they go through that curve of it's almost like I wish it wasn't a rite of passage. I would like that, and there's so much work to be done that it isn't a rite of passage, but I think you feel it so deeply when you do go through that, but either that burnout cycle or that overwhelm cycle and come out the other side and be like, I want more for myself than this. I deserve more than this. And it's the women that come out the other side and can recognize, I want more. And then I want to do something about it. And so you probably see that as well. And then for me, it's that where I'll help you implement the systems to actually make it tangible, that they're like, I'm done doing all of this because it's the way I should do it, or I could do it. This is what I want for me. Here we go.
It is such a turning point. I always describe it as like when I went through this, it's like I'd taken my blinkers off and I was like, oh my God, there is so much more potential or so much more I could be doing or want to be doing that I just haven't for so long. And for me, that turning point was having my daughter. There was something about having a girl for me, as someone that always thought I would just be a boy mum. She was a big surprise in many ways, that I was like, oh, I wouldn't want this for her. And if I don't want it for her, I absolutely shouldn't want it for me. And I can only show her a better way of doing things through what I'm doing rather than saying, I wish I'd done this and I want you to do better. Because kids learn through what they see, they don't learn through what they're told. Otherwise, if they learn through what they were told, motherhood would be significantly easier.
Wouldn't it just? Yes, I love that. And I think with the boy bit as well, I stand so strong in the world is a pretty wild place to be in at the moment. And what I can control, like to what you're saying, there's a lot I cannot control in the outside world. And I tend to be, rightly or wrongly, a bit blinkered to it. But what I can control is how my boys see me and their perception of a woman. And that isn't say I am the perfect model of a woman, but I am going to show you what it means to be strong physically and mentally. I am going to put myself first and go against the grain of what it means to be a woman normally in society. Because if I can send those two boys out into the world, just knowing like, and this be normal, then maybe there's a fighting chance for the next generation. And that's my little sending them on their way and trying my hardest, like you're saying, to show them, let's see how I do. But right now, they don't know any different. And that to me is success in motherhood.
And I think, I was doing your organize the overwhelm download that you've got the other day, where you've got the should do, could do, want to, and have to lists. And I was like, God, it's such a simple thing. But actually, I was like, if I was to use this with my clients, like the should do list is going to be never ending, absolutely never ending. The want to list would probably be blank because most of my women are like, I don't really know what lights me up or what I like to do or what I even feel like I've got capacity to be able to do outside of the home and working and all the things. And I think, which I might have said to you before, I think we're in that first generation of women where we've been told you can have it all. You can have the amazing career. You can be at home and a really present mom and you can stay on top of the house, but we're not going to give you the tools to do so. We're not going to give you affordable childcare. You don't really, most people don't have a village around them to help them. And we're not asking your partner to step up in any way to support any of this from happening. So I love that what you do is like bringing those systems in so that actually your partner does step up because he can see exactly what's going on and he knows how he feeds into that. But the want to side of things still is not part of what we're being told as women. So you can go and work 40 hours a week and you can also do all of the things for the kids, but we're still not at any point saying, but don't forget within that, you also need to do the stuff that you want to do that makes you feel happy, that brings you a bit of calm and peace into your life. It's all just constant, even though I think that whole message was meant in a positive way, but it's still just a constant thing of doing, just do more and be really bloody grateful for it, even though it feels really bloody hard. But don't make time for yourself. That I mean, I could go off on a total tangent now as well, but I'm like, even Mother's Day presents, they're all things that are like fluffy, nice things you can enjoy at home. Great, because I don't spend enough of my time there already. Like, oh my God, let me
It's
do.
my home that's the problem. Get me out of here.
It's wild, but that bit about what you want to do is missing in everything. But going back to what you said earlier about like Michael could get up and go out and go for a run and do things that he enjoys, and it's almost not, nobody bats an eyelid for a start. There's nobody second guesses it at all. But with women, you're like, it feels like a trade-off a lot of the time, doesn't it? Well, if I want to do this, it means somebody else has got to cover this, or the kids might suffer because I'm not the one that's there and doing it all. And so that one part of it, that's where that mum guilt comes in, because it starts feeling really selfish, doesn't it? And like, well, but I'm needed somewhere else.
Well, I love that, and it made me think actually, because I've got a piece of content in storage that is about because I am the way I am, and I've worked hard, and I mean there are reasons we've spoken about this the past of how I've turned out the way I am, and also the reason I do what I do. But because I'm not afraid to say to Michael, and I'm unapologetic with that I want energy that we spoke about, and he gets it, thank God he does. But the outside perception, even from the people closest to me, the amount of people that have said over the years, poor Michael, well, he wouldn't say no to you, would he? Oh, well, you've got him wrapped around your little finger. Isn't he well trained? All of these comments that I'm like, I now don't let it get to me because I'm like, actually, it's a you problem. It's a society problem. But all that reflects is we're not used to a woman saying, I am a grown up. You are also a grown up. We are equal. Here's what I need. What do you need? Great, cool. How are we going to make it happen? Sweet, let's do it. That to me is really fucking normal and a really appropriate way of approaching, you know, two ambitious people doing it all together. But because I am a woman who's quite confident and knows what she wants, your poor husband, your poor husband. And I'm like, wow, it's wild. It is absolutely wild to me. But where I suppose as I've gotten older, I look at the people that say it and I can recognize it's because you've never felt that you've been able to. You haven't had the tools or the confidence to do what you want to do and have that like collaborative conversation with whoever your support network person is to be like, let's make it happen. And that is hopefully is changing with a generation, but I still think it is wild that in 2025, even another woman, somebody close to me of my age, would say, poor Michael, he's probably scared of you. He should be scared of me. I don't mean that at all, but yes.
I talk a lot to my clients about these exact same things. I'm like, it's if you imagine it as though somebody's always trying to put you back in your Barbie box, like, get back in your box, be the nice, dutiful wife, just get back in your Barbie box and do the things that everybody's expecting you to do. And I think the other women that are making those comments, they're the ones that have still got their blinkers on because they can only see their experience. And rather than change the way that you do things or the way that you're feeling about things, it's much easier just to try and get someone else to get back in their box because there's probably a bit of that resentment or like, how come she gets to do all this stuff and look after herself and her husband helps out when I didn't get that? So if you just get back in your box, it makes it a bit easier for me or a bit more comfortable for me. But again, that's one of those things. If we keep stepping back into that box, the expectation remains exactly the same. You can't be in your Barbie box and trying to shout for equality if you're not willing to step outside of that comfort zone and actually do something about it. But yeah, so fascinating. I find it much more like galling when those kind of comments come from another woman. So I'm like, you should get it the most, but you're backing up the stereotypical view of what life should look like as a working mum, particularly. And I think this is where, as well, like we mentioned earlier, a lot of people get to that. I've got everything I've always dreamed of. I'm living this life I've been told I can have, or I can work and I can look after the kids and do all of the things, but it doesn't feel enough. Something seems to be missing. And most women at that point, because it feels a little bit uncomfortable, will disappear into more doing and being more perfect because that feels like the safe place. But actually, those are the alarm systems that are saying it's because you're not happy. Something inside of you is not in alignment, or you know deep down that you're actually not looking after your needs in any way, shape, or form. That's why it doesn't feel enough, because you can have all of the things, but if on the inside you're like, but I feel stifled and I feel unsupported and I don't feel seen, it doesn't matter what the external world looks like. It's not going to be enough if you as a person have been completely lost along the way. And that's, you know, we end up being busy for busy's sake. Like, okay, so let's just do all the things because then I don't have to think about how I'm feeling. And you focus on doing and not living all of the time. Living thing that is like foundational to both of the work that we both do, isn't it? Obviously, what you do in terms of life and business and systems is what I'm doing in terms of emotional health and well-being. But we're giving you the ability to live your life, which up until now you've not been doing, or you've been living a bit of a half life because you've disappeared under all of these habits. And I think that when you can switch that back on and be like, I actually just want to live my life, not just do stuff all the time, is just such a springboard, isn't it, for making massive change. Yes.
And when a woman comes out the other side of all of that, that's where she has the power to make change and make impact, whether that's in a corporate situation, whether that's in her direct environment, whether that's in her own business. When somebody navigates through all of those things and then arrives in, like, bam, I get it. And I can achieve more and create more impact and fulfill purpose. That woman there goes on to make change in society. And that is where, like, the excitement of the future to be a woman in the 21st century and in the wild times that we live in right now, like, that's the bit where I'm like, go forth, make change, come on. Because we've still got a fight to fight, people. And the only way that the women can surface and fight that fight is through coming through all of this stuff and arriving where she needs to be to create the impact that she was meant to create.
And no one's going to give you that permission slip to go and do that apart from yourself. So if you're forever waiting, like my women get lost in a one day when sleep through the night, it'll be easier. When they go to school, it'll be easier. When this happens, when I'm earning this money, like, and again, it's that offsetting, pushing those goals forward all the time. If you're always waiting, it's never going to come. And then you will get to that point when you look back and think, oh, I've wasted that last decade. I should have been more present. I should have been living with the kids and not just them seeing me tidying up and doing all the time. It gives you that, yeah, you're giving yourself that permission slip to be like, you know what, it's okay to carve out the life that I want, the life that I feel like I should be living to keep other people happy or more comfortable. Oh, so much. I'm sure we could probably sit and talk for like the next 6 hours and still not cover everything that we want to cover, but just so much. I just think the essence of it all really is just start living the life that you want to live. And do the things that make you happy, which at the moment, if you start thinking about it, you might be like, that's a completely blank page. Like, I honestly don't know what those things are. And I definitely went through a period of trial and error. Like, all the things that I liked pre-kids, I knew weren't my thing anymore. So, what do I like? So, just try things, go out and do something and get that mental load out of your head. And if systemizing it is the thing that works for you, do that so that it's not all rattling around up here all the time. And if you're not feeling the way that you want to feel, do something about it. Like, if anything in your life doesn't feel right, you've got the power to change that. But it's not going to change on its own, and it's not going to change overnight. You have to put conscious effort into making those things happen. Any parting thoughts you want to leave for people?
I think just to cement what you just said then, like, I think busyness is a choice. And we do all have choice. Sometimes the ease of that choice is the issue. But if you recognize, like you said, to your point, that I'm not feeling the way I want to feel in my life, you have a choice to be the change that you need and start however small. It doesn't need to be a big overhaul of your entire life. It can be choosing just one thing. I'm going to choose myself one time a day. I'm going to go for that 15-minute walk. I'm going to make sure I do it. And then the snowball effect of that, it's like it's the gateway to everything else falling into place. But all you need is to choose yourself once, and trust can happen.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I think that's been an absolute, like, such a valuable conversation that I'm sure so many people are going to resonate with. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch?
I live my life on Instagram, so I'm at Bored of Busy, and you can find me there. And I'd love anybody to slide into my DMs and come say hello if they've listened to this and it has been impactful. I'd just love to connect with other women.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of Perfectly Imperfect, the space for perfectionist mums wanting to find their worth and themselves in motherhood. If you have enjoyed this episode and want to find out more about my services or how I can support you, find me on Instagram at Maternal Wellbeing Foundation or drop me an email on Rhea@thematernalwellbeingfoundation.com.